Oops.
There you go. There's been discussion of what the responsibilities are. I view the agreements as the language that's operative on both sides. There's a matter of interpretation of what that means. And I would like to clarify, so I will provide you with the pages that I'm concerned with. Okay. And I will ask the question and you can share it with them.
Certainly.
Because it affects our budget.
Certainly.
And the safety of the communities, which is the utmost important thing.
But nothing that council does with respect to this extension would affect that at all.
No, it wouldn't. But I want to make sure they're performing it. That everybody knows what's on the table of what they're supposed to do until someday they decide to build this or abandon the project. Because we've waited 6 years?
2016 was the original approval.
Waited 6 years. And it's in a state of deterioration. So we want to go forward. But during the interim period, we want to make sure everybody knows what everybody's supposed to do to keep the place safe. And that's all I'm asking. Thank you.
Mary Ellen,
good report.
Either of you have questions? No. Okay, so we're ready to put this on the agenda next week then?
Yes.
Please.
Yep.
And other than that, I'm happy to
answer. Does that require public notice of this, of what we're going to be doing next week?
Yeah.
Other than the agenda?
It'll be on the agenda, but that's it.
And before we move on, I want to make sure Mr. Delphi has an opportunity to say whatever he'd like to say.
Well, I was just going to say, we have already been to the planning. The plans were submitted back in August.
Okay.
And we're at the planning commission in beginning of October. And we're scheduled to go back
February.
Monday.
Oh.
But if Council of Vermont grant the extension, and planning commission supported the request for a 3 month extension.
Yes.
Because 3 months time to be able to work with them, work with everybody. So we have already submitted the plans. We've already been to the planning commission. There'll be revised plans responding to Michelle's review letter that will then be submitted later on this month.
If we do this extension, when does the public get to comment on the plan?
Planning commission, borough council meetings?
Yep.
Okay. Because it's such a large project, it affects the whole town. And it increases, I think, the estimate of vehicular traffic to 300 cars coming up Penn Street from one maximum two exits. That's a tremendous impact on the community. So we'll talk about that number, but notice is important to everybody so that everybody gets an opportunity to speak.
And we did, in accordance with our ordinances, we did send notices out prior to the planning commission meeting last month, notified people of the plan.
Is it a 300 foot?
Which is inadequate. In my opinion, that's an inadequate notice. It's what the statute says. But the flip side of it is we've lost our access to public media and things. And so this is an issue for the town, borough.
So
notice is very important.
Based on their obligation, and we put this on the agenda, it goes out there.
Yeah.
And Jeff, well, you will possibly miss the beginning of the minutes, the recording, but we'll make sure that it gets out there for the patch and then whoever's doing the advanced / recorder. So we'll let people know when it's on the agenda.
If any development you letter.
Yeah, we can put it on the newsletter.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And the website. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. So, Lauren, back to you.
And so those are the discussion points this evening on our report, but I'm happy to discuss any of the other matters on our report.
Any other comments? Okay, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, so during our budget meeting discussion last Thursday, we spoke about one of the items with accreditation, and Chief Savick was away. So we asked that he come here today and answer any valid questions that you have around the program and the e-board and what it does exactly. So I didn't know if you guys had anything specific or if you just want kind of a him to start explaining.
And before we move into that, I want to say that the PLEA accreditation is statewide, and there's 100 and some municipalities that are accredited. And this is it's under the Pennsylvania Law Enforcement Accreditation. What is it? Commission. I've heard the last thing. So this is not something that just like this local company is offering. They're following FLEAC standards so that you can have this a detailed assurance that every municipality who goes through this is following that high level of standard in all their areas of operation. So that's where this comes from.
But it's important to know that it's a standard, but it's not. It's voluntary.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So I wanted to say it before you mentioned
it. I thought maybe he just took his thunder away. But
he's like, okay, I'm done.
Okay. So FLEAC was formed in 2001. It's a Pennsylvania agency. Originally, there was CALEA. It was a national agency, and it had so many standards that really were not attributed to what we do in Pennsylvania. So they saw the need to have Pennsylvania standards across the state. Currently, there are 149 agencies that maintain accredited status. However, that's statewide. In Bucks County, 24 of the 39 departments, or over 60%, are accredited. Of the 650,000 residents of Bucks County, 500,000 are represented by departments that are accredited, which is over 75%. So we are, it's not going to be a new thing that we're going to be like experimenting and trying. We're actually trying to catch up with what other agencies do so that we're maintaining the same level of standards. The program comes in three phases. The first phase is that we send a letter to the Police Chiefs Association asking to become part of the program. That's only a $250 outlay. It's $500 if you're not a member, but since I am a member of the Pennsylvania Chiefs, it will be $250 for us. The next step would be a self-assessment. We would appoint an accreditation manager from our department, which is sort of going to roll into why I want to promote a sergeant, but that role is going to be part of what the sergeant is going to be doing. To basically review our policies against the standards, adjust where it's necessary, and then we prepare for what would be a mock assessment to see whether or not we're ready to have the full assessment. When the full assessment takes place, they bring in three police chiefs from outside of the area who are trained assessors who will judge whether or not we've met all the standards. We have to show proof that we're meeting the standards, and then they will prepare a report for the commission, and then the commission will decide whether or not we reach that accreditation status. It is something that I've been wanting to do. It's really going to lay a foundation for the future of the department as far as, that we are doing everything that we should be doing on the state level.
And we just overhauled the policy.
We just overhauled the policies. One of the big things that we added last year is what's known as Power DMS. It's a software program that pushes out the policies and makes sure that all the officers are receiving the policies and understanding the policies. That's sort of one of the first steps in having this FLEAC come in and do our assessments, that we have a mechanism for putting our policies out for the officers, and then they get tested on the policies and everything else. But then the important part is that we have to, for instance, if our policy says that we have to Mirandize somebody before we interview them, we have to be able to show proof that we're Mirandizing people before we interview them, things along those lines. So for each of the standards, we have to show proof that we're meeting each of those standards. The agency, the three police chiefs that would come in, they would review our files, they would go through our arrest folders, make sure that everything is up to date, that our evidence is being processed and stored in proper fashion and things along those lines. The proposal that I gave is for a company that basically, helps us compete and do this. I am familiar with the agency. The last accreditation meeting out at the state cop or out at the PA chiefs, three departments from Bucks County were reached their accreditation. This consulting did all three of those for each of those three departments. I'm also very familiar with the head of it. And our department would feel Plymouth would feel comfortable having him as a partner in, you know, being at our station and helping us, you know, get through these things. So that's basically, it's going to take about a year to do it. The initial proposal that I actually asked him for a proposal right after I saw that he got these three departments accredited at our last accreditation meeting in July. I said, well, if he did it for them, he could do it for us. So I asked him for the proposal. So the original proposal that was given to council, I'm assuming council received all of it, that was like over, you know, to start in 2022 and enroll them into 2023. At this point, it would be starting in 2023 and hopefully done by the end of by the beginning of 2024. So it'd be like a year long project to get us up to speed and ready to go on that.
Two questions. Number one, what's the cost?
The cost of the person to come in is $32,000 for the consulting bidding.
Okay.
The actual cost that's associated with the program from the PA chiefs, this is one of the big pushes for the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency. They provide grant money to the Pennsylvania Chiefs Association to administer this program. So the actual, like having the assessors come out and do the testing and everything else, that's on the PA chiefs through the PCCD.
Grant. But the 32 would be ours.
The 32 is on us for the consultant to get us ready for it.
Will this analysis identify any training areas that were deficient?
Yes. Yeah, that's the main purpose of what they'll be doing. Okay. And we've already had him give we've sent him our policies. He's given us, you know, some ideas already as far as, you know, we have a lot of things on what we have to do, and he's saying that we're a little short on how to do them type of thing, and he's gonna help us along with that.
So as part of the job description, they would help us implement these training facilities, or do we have to go beyond this contract to get the training on?
It's designed to, the program is designed for you to succeed at it. They're not like trying to throw roadblocks in. They want you to succeed. So it's sort of, you know, success oriented. But now we won't have to like build training facilities or anything like this.
Yeah. Dennis?
Is this an ongoing accreditation?
Yes, and the accreditation will last for 3 years, but during the course of when it's not going on, we have to still be able to be providing those proofs every year that we're following those policies. So there is a ongoing cost that the consulting firm, their annual cost would be $12,000 a year in two $6,000 payments.
And is the purpose of this, pardon my abbreviation here, a CYA thing?
Yes, it eliminates it, takes away a lot of our liability issues, and, you know, gives us credibility. I just filled out the information for Pat today for renewing our liability insurance, and that's the first question they asked, are you accredited?
So I was going to say, it's the initial $32,000 and then $12,000 a year.
Right. So
every
the 30,
year moving forward?
Every year moving
after
forward.
After the first year. Yes. After.
Right, the 32 for the first year to get us accredited, then it would be 12,000 to keep us showing that we're showing.
Oh, every year, second year, every year. Right. Okay.
Do we know what that savings is on that accreditation?
I don't know what the savings would be on the liability insurance.
Could being accredited cut down on the number of right-to-know requests we get and the money we spend on that?
It could.
I think
some of our requests have gotten increasingly silly.
Yeah. trigger something.
Right.
You could point to something procedurally that maybe you wasn't correct.
Yeah.
So with regard to the percentage of departments in the county or in the state that are accredited, the ones, I think you said it was like 60 or 70% are?
In Bucks County, there are 650,000 residents by population. 500,000 of those are covered by accredited agents, which is 76%.
When you go to these meetings like you did in July, have you spoken to the ones that are not accredited? Like, what are the reasons? Is it purely financial, or is it?
A lot of times it would be financial.
Okay. I mean, because it is a sizable amount of money, but if there's no other reason or the thought process has to, we don't
know. As far as the process goes, there's no real, you know, pushback on that, that they don't approve of the process. So most of it is financial.
Is there more than one accredited accrediting agency or an accrediting body?
Well, there is the national accrediting body that still exists. That's COLEA.
Uh-huh.
And COLEA, you know, the standards, there was only one department in Bucks County that was ever COLEA accredited. That was Penn Salem.
Uh-huh.
Because they had the resources to do it. I'm not even sure if they still are, because, you know, with the Pennsylvania accreditation sort of took over and said,
okay,
you know, for Pennsylvania agencies.
So we can't choose another accrediting agency?
No, not for Pennsylvania.
Because you don't want to. Okay.
Good question.
Okay.
Thank you.
You good? No, I don't know. I think maybe we could get, would Pat know that information as far as what the savings
is? She could add that, what the savings would be.
Okay, just to see what that offset is.
Mm-hmm. Are we good to move, like, to, are we expecting that we put this in the budget to go ahead and move forward with this?
Put it in the budget?
Well, right now it's in the budget, but then it came up as a question, do we want to do this? And there were some questions about it at the special budget meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So do we want to leave it in the budget? I guess really would be my question.
Yes.
But I did think we should clarify Pat what this
Pat had 17 each year.
Because it was supposed to be split half in 2022, half in
2020. But it doesn't add up to 32.
It adds up to 34.
Yeah, I think she added the $250 or whatever on the.
That's not.
Or no, it would have.
The 25.
I'm not sure.
We'll have to ask Pat.
Yeah, just okay. Just make sure what the budget is actually.
Yeah.
What's going to cover?
Yeah, because they don't match what Pat wrote from what.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll take care of that.
All right. The only other item I do have, and it's for the to be voted on at the council meeting Tuesday, is the a special events proposal for the Newtown Holiday Parade. This came across kind of last minute, I guess, but I think we're all familiar with the parade and the businesses. Chief, you this is a standard.
Yeah, this standard on it. It hasn't changed from previous years.
So. You guys will look out for a motion to approve that meeting next week. It'll just be a reminder. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Everybody's good with the parade plan?
Yep.
Okay. All right. We are, I would like, this is just, would be the only vote at this meeting, but to amend the September 13, 2022 council meeting minutes, moving the approval of COA 22-024107 4th Street. Would you care to talk about this at all, or would you like me to
say? Yes, so this is the HARB COA that we tabled last month because they hadn't been to JHC, which they needed to go. We did table it at the beginning of the meeting, but it was left in the notes as being approved, so we're just amending to remove them. And it will be, just so you know, added to next, it's on next week's agenda.
Because yeah, it was now the batch vote.
Yeah, it was just in the batch vote, so. I will make a motion to amend the September 13th, 2022 council meeting minutes, removing the approval of COA 2022-024-107 Court Street, which was tabled at the beginning of the meeting.
Second.
Any other comments or questions? Public comment? Internet comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. Okay, now I'm going to move up. I don't even know what number it is, but it's further down the discussion regarding the memorial sign topper proposal. And we have the applicant's sister and friend, neighbor.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for coming. The applicant is in, she's away out of town.
Yes.
Yeah. So, so we have before us the application and the sort of some comments on Mr. Miller and his contributions to the town, his longevity. So I'm wondering if you might get up and talk a little bit about it. I know we have it here written, but just sort of express what your feelings about the. Or are you more here on behalf of your sister and you would rather just here to answer questions?
She did not tell me I had a
question. That's why she
if you prefer not to, it's not a requirement.
It's not a requirement. It's just I'm inviting you to. So if you prefer not to, and only ask a question, that's okay.
Yeah, I can ask a question, maybe.
Okay. Who are you? Let's start.
I'm Ted's daughter. Ted Miller's daughter.
Ted. Name. Okay, Mr. Miller.
Barb's my sister.
Okay. Okay. And actually, could you give your name for the minutes?
Nancy Davis.
So.
And is there an address for this sign?
It's on the application.
It's all on the
application. Penn
and
Norwood. Yeah. Okay. So obviously I had come to council with the first sign topper last year.
I think it was the same meeting that they did the steeple view extension. Oh, that was
So
you better be ready.
And because of the request, I think council went back and created kind of a template on what the needs or the criteria should be.
And
not
a
stone, but a policy about how it should look, what the history behind the individual. And in my reading of the forms, obviously a long term or a long time employee and member. For a president, one time of First National Bank.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of history here in the community with the bank that has a lot of history here in the community. And that's probably what got you thinking or your family thinking about how do we kind of keep that history in town. So really that's kind of what the document's about. When I came the first time I did this, there is no easy, this meets, that doesn't. It's gonna be your opinions on whether or not you feel that is the right thing. It ties into the history and the longevity of a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what my thought was when I originally did the initial one for Bill Cruzan. So that's really without having you have to speak.
Kind of, mm-hmm. And when we did yours, we decided to develop the policy and say, does this match what we're looking for?
Right.
And it did. He had to wait a while. So I think it's helpful having it now.
So are you proposing the same thing, like similar design?
Exactly.
Oh, good.
And it's funny because it's going to be just blocked down.
Right. I like them to be consistent.
Yeah. So, I guess, obviously you guys are going to be voting on this next meeting, but I just.
It's a background.
Yeah. I mean, just, and I only know what I know from reading the documentation. So, it's not, mm-hmm. I don't have any anywhere different.
Was the cost borne by the family?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I paid for the sign when I put it up, and the applicant puts it up. Yeah, the borrower does.
Yeah. And Chief, does the addition of these signs, not critical, is it affecting police services or fire services or delivery services?
It has not. I've not seen it affect those. My one recommendation would be not to have things like way at the end of it, where it could be confused with that's actual street. So just the wording on it to not be confused with like a street end. So if somebody were to need a 911 service and they look up and they see they're at such and such way, the county will like look and say, that's not a road, we don't have that.
And that's a great point. And what's interesting though, because I was chuckling when I went through this process, I can go to many corners of town and you can't read the street sign. Supposed to say Penn, you can't read it. So like we have signs in this town that are supposed to be street signs, you can't read it. So, I get it. And I would think that in a small borough that we would know a police officer locally responding, he's gonna know. I know where Bill Cruzan Way is, it's on Lafayette, Norwood. But the county, I get it. That's a good point.
And we didn't incorporate that into the policy because it was like a street topper. And usually those, like, it's a pretend naming of the street. Like, in effect, we memorialize the street. So usually it does have a...
Right. But I would just prefer not to have an ending that would
be... Right. Street. Yeah. Like, Booker's street.
Yeah. Or like Penn State Street or something.
Yeah.
Right. So is there an ending that would not be confusing for the...
It's wide open.
Because otherwise, we'll just have the name.
Yeah. I think that would serve the purpose.
I would think just the name would serve the purpose.
For the education of council members, if you replace the sign, You have to replace the pole.
No. We're not replacing it.
No, no, no. I'm actually going to tell them where this leads. Then you have to have the breakaway poles.
Right. So, but Bob, so that's not part of this.
Yeah, I understand it, but it just.
Or the top.
You're talking about the existing signs that are.
Yeah. Right.
The existing signs, one of the reasons there's a delay in addressing the issue is because of the cost it would take for the poles and the installation per sign times all the signs in the borough. So that's a slippery path.
Well, I think you're talking about right. What you said about a few of us from an offhand comment, but the topic isn't about the borough signs, right. It's about the application.
Yeah, I understand it, but every time we put something on a sign, the question is, what is the integrity of the pole that we're putting on? And once you replace a sign, you have to address pole requirements.
But we're not replacing the sign. So my question
we're
not
replacing the sign, we're just adding something to it.
But we have a lot of the agendas.
Yeah. Well, I just want to be clear that we're only putting something on top of an existing sign, and not addressing other problem.
That's what's in the policy report.
Right.
So for this particular application, did you have a comment?
Just one comment. There's no need to validate Ted Miller in any way. I moved here 50 some years ago, and he was Mr. Newtown then.
Well, it says here he was the borough treasurer for 19 years. So mm-hmm.
He was the bank.
The dollar signs at the end of it.
Does everybody feel good about moving forward this next week?
Yes.
Thank you for the great explanation.
Thank you. Great. You did a great job.
Yeah, of course. So we're going to vote next week. Because other than the one thing that we need to do for the minutes, we ordinarily discuss things in the work session and we'll vote at the council meeting next week on Tuesday. Oh, sorry, Wednesday. Wednesday's election day. So that's when we'll be officially done. And then we'll let Barbara know.
Sounds good.
At the Chancellor Center, not here.
Okay.
Okay. Just so you don't go to the wrong place.
Yeah.
But you don't have.
You don't have to go.
Don't have to go.
So only if you would like.
They should get the mission back by then.
Okay.
It's back
on
her.
All right.
Thank you
so much.
Okay. Discussing regarding So the subcategory here about the grant administration, I'm removing that, but we've done one part of the last preliminary draft budget, the question that we had on the table regarding the police, the PLEAC accreditation, thank you. And the other item that was left out there was for the Patriots Park grant match and funding. And then of course, if there's anything else that council wanted to add. So before we get into this, is there anything else that we wanted to change, add, do, other than our executive session for the budget since our last budget meeting?
Yeah, I have one thing.
Uh-huh.
And it is under administration. It's item 405.110. It's on page 3, of the big sheets.
Yeah. Okay. All right, once you get into the
the second page 3 of the big sheet.
Yes. Oh, right. Yeah.
And it is under the section of administration, the second one down. 405.110, recording secretary and temporary part-time secretary administration. Last 2021, $300 was budgeted, 2022, $30,000, 2023, $50,000. And I'm just wondering what that's for.
That's in case we get a manager or some other administrative person. That's so that we have the money available to do that.
Okay.
If we wish to do that.
Okay. And this money, like we have a couple, we have at least one committee that needs a recording secretary that we can't find one.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know if there was the possibility of this being like the township posts the job posting, part-time secretary.
To post it, right.
Yes, instead of like trying to get someone to volunteer to be on JHC.
Perhaps we can post it. It's not, they would not be an employee, but they would have. Like
it's like So if some of that money could go towards maybe hiring a part-time recording secretary for JHC.
For JHC.
It's, you know, they get their $300 a year donation.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we would like say split that with the township, and I think that's reasonable. Yeah. Now, the reason it has all these words here is because if you go back to prior years, there were certain times that it was used for that in earlier years. However, that's a like nominal amount considering everything. So, has Jay talked about this? And they would like to have a recording secretary.
Oh well, yeah, we've been missing one.
People
are annoyed because they can't, you know, members are taking notes, but they can't really participate in the meeting and they're taking notes, and so it's become a sore subject.
Okay,
and we can.
If the JHC or somebody on the JHC can put together what they'd like to put up, we can
do that. I will let them know.
So we have had Santa McIntyre for years.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm wondering is she's already, if the replacement of her is somewhere embedded in these pages.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Well, JHC doesn't really have a budget. They only have we give them a $300 donation at the township.
Right.
Gives them a $300 donation. That's their entire, like, they don't send in a budget request.
Yeah, so I think that we
should cover it.
I think that we've been paying a portion of her. I just don't know where it
would be. Well, ask Pat, and I'm hearing more than that. You're just looking at that category saying we could use that, but perhaps like really it belongs under the JHC and here's where it is. And yes, we want to pay to make sure that they get recording secretary.
Even if we just hire a part-time recording secretary and then they like Judy's on vacation, they come and do Judy's minutes or that kind of thing. It's someone who we have in our back pocket, not that, contract.
Right. We have Leslie in her back pocket.
Yeah.
But Leslie may not want to pick up JHC in evening meetings.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So we want to get you a JHC secretary. We want to support you in doing that and make sure it's funded.
Yeah. And I just was wondering if that line item was incorporating of all of our needs and not just like in case
we
get a borough
manager. Yeah. My understanding is that that's just in case we get a borough manager. And the reason it's got all those words there is because it's basically Pat plugged it in where something that was hadn't been used, and then the name, the words are still there to indicate what was before.
Okay.
But it gets very confusing when you look at it, but you can see why she put that administrative thing in there because it's a good line for it. But you should have a secretary, and we should assist you in getting it, and we should pay whatever is needed to have a secretary.
Okay, thank you.
And I think we can all agree on that.
So we have a bunch of questions?
Yeah, okay.
Have a good night. Shut the door. Mm-hmm.
Chief, this is.
Okay.
You brought up the addition of a sergeant or promotion of a sergeant for this future period. Is that included in your 23 budget request?
Yes.
Okay, fine. I just want to make sure we didn't forget it in case we get that far. Okay, thank you.
So we had some questions about the amount budgeted for Patriots Bank. So to give everyone the background, and forgive me for telling you things you already know, but we have for this project, right, we have a grant from DCNR for $70,000. It has a $40,000 match for us. So the total of it was to be $110,000 at the beginning. Right now we have it as $114,000. So it's gone up $4,746. The PICO Green Region grant, which is $10,000, is to help us offset this match. And we've gotten 11,500 worth of neighbor donations for trees and fences. And so we'll be able to use that. We'll also be able to get a little bit of money from volunteer hours can count towards the match as well. So we're left, not including volunteer hours, with $18,500, this is rounded, $18,500 for the official match. And then we have the $4,000 and change extra on top of the original 110. So you've got the difference right now of it's $23,246. Somehow the Julie's request had 27,246. I couldn't figure out what that little four was in between. And then she rounded the whole thing up to 30 in case there was something more. So it's not that it's 30 over, it's that we have this $40,000 match for the $70,000 we got from DCNR. And we're putting together ways to meet it, but some of it we're going to also just meet it out of pocket because we got that. And we will get like an ADA accessible area and path and benches. And
did we pay out any of the match yet, or that will all be in 2023?
We got $30,000+ from them so far, and we'll get the second 30, like 30 got 35, and we'll get 35.
Our expenditure part for the match.
We paid 2021 was 16, and plus this year it was 16. That total for 2021 and 2022, we have the 18,000. I think they just set something else in. This is the updated one. No one, sorry. So we have the $35,000. So then it really comes back to the buckets.
How much have we paid out so far on our matching portion?
I would say $18,000.
Okay, that's so. So we still have $22,000 of our matching contribution to pay out in 2023.
I'm sorry, I should have said that. That's how much we paid, but some of that is covered under the grant. So if it's covered under the grant, we put that in a $70,000 bucket until that gets filled up.
So we don't know what of our matching portion we've paid yet, or if we've paid.
It sounds like we have. If we're still paying towards the grant.
And Pat moved $20,000 out of the $35,000, which went into the grant fund. And then she has to make an interoperating transfer to the general fund to then pay the bills. So far we've had an engineering survey, two legal ads.
I guess where I'm trying to get is this $30,000 budget request will be on top of whatever we have to pay out for the matching.
No. No.
It includes the matching?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Not from that. That's good.
That's why I wanted to go over it. Because when we had the special budget meeting, Julie wasn't here. I knew Jeff like what these things are, but I wasn't prepared to sort of give the mini presentation on here's the story, here's where we are, here's why, and to break it all down, because this is a budget request, but to say here's this, here are the 40,000 minus the 10. We have so contributions.
I was looking at this as additional requested funds, but this is actually just the funds we already knew we had to pay out of.
Yes, okay. A little bit more. And then she rounded it up because she said, what if some costs go up? But, you know, it's a budget. We want to do our best estimate. But if it turns out it's an extra $500 to buy the benches we want, we're not going to not do it. So
that's not very expensive. They will double in price.
And if we find out that the cost of insulation for the contractor to put in things like is way more than we planned, we can always say, okay, let's remove this and this. You know, how can we cut back the project? So where it's not that we have to do all of it. If we find that we don't, I mean, it would be good to do all of it, but we have flexibility.
This is a budget, not an appropriation to pay something.
Right, right.
We'll get back to that topic later.
So the 30,000 is rounded up, and I understand why she did it. It was the in case I might need that, the borough might need that to do what we want to do because it costs a little bit more. We can always not spend it. But does everybody feel bad about understanding like where it came from?
Your comment, we may not spend it to the extent that the grant requires us to spend it.
Yes.
Match funds.
We do match.
We do that.
Yes.
But how we do it will be at our council's discretion.
Right, right. But we do need to match the $40,000. Yes.
So it's not that we're not going to do it. How we do it.
Right.
Still has to be determined because that hasn't been finalized.
All right. And because it got moved to next year, well, we're going to need to advertise in December. It got moved to next year because we didn't get anybody good to do it this year, if you recall. The $10,000 PICO Green Region grant expires this December. So I reached out to the liaison for that grant and asked her, what can we do to request an extension? be an excellent situation to have. So I'm hoping, you know, we've got extensions for things like this before. You just explain, you have a reasonable reason. You're not just like ignoring it. We should be okay.
You need to ask before the expiration date.
Yes.
And the liaison is through the engineer, or is it?
So, we like to move that, you know, and we don't need to vote on this, I confirm, but we have RBE contract to administer grants.
But that's the liaison that you reached out to, or is that?
It's PICO. Okay. PICO Green Region has
a person.
A person.
But moving forward, it will be RBE who would reach out to
on our behalf.
Yeah.
Right. But we want to make sure that this gets extended. So that was more of an update that had nothing to do with anything to do with the budget other than we don't want to lose $50,000. So is everybody good with this now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks. Yes. Okay. Review of eligibility based on test scores for the Civil Service Commission. Mr. Mayor, would you like to talk about that?
I mean, other than the fact that was curious as to what information we can divulge, and I think we spoke about it earlier, the fact that we had two candidates step up and put their hat in the ring, I guess, for the promotion. And then there was a process through the Civil Service Board and three police chiefs that did the interviewing, and there's a standard for, do they have standard field categories? They had to.
Yes, and they had to ask questions related to those.
So I don't know if you guys saw the results of the questions and the feedback that was given by the.
And sometimes chief goes to other towns.
Yeah.
And acts in the same role for them. So that way we have outside people, so that chief is not part of like who I like better, but it's very cut and dry how they do on the testing, how they do on the questions, and it gives us numbers to work with. So that way the Civil Service Committee puts a lot of work into that, and they're following a very specific protocol, and they work with their solicitor on doing it. So.
And it's very different from an interview process where sometimes you can use your gut feeling.
Right.
It's results are the results, and that's basically how it's true.
The council could decide to do the person with the lower score, but I would highly recommend against it because this is where the civil service follow their process.
So, I don't know if there was any questions on any of the paperwork.
That is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. 207. Oh, wait, sorry. I'm going to start checking these things off. Okay. The public works contractor position. I uploaded a rather lengthy document, which was the notice to bidders, which was done at the time that Mons was hired. And so this is the document the borough put together. So Judy reached out to the person who was the solicitor at that time, just 23 years ago, and 22 years ago, and he still had it on Word. So this is a very old version of Word, but I sent it over to Rudolph Clark, and Barbara Murley worked with it, and she and I went back and forth. To start with, John and I met with Wong, and we said, okay, let's go through this, plus some of the other paperwork, how to show like your jobs, what you do, things you show, like your annual in annual expenses, expected expenses, because that covers like everything that he does. Because some things have been added. We have some new parks. We used to have 6 days a week trash pickup, and now we have no trash Tuesday because there's not a lot of trash on Tuesdays for whatever reason. So, but basically it was the same. So Barbara used that as a format. She changed some things because some things in the legal world have changed, and there were two additional documents which were more of a legal requirement, which were also in share file. So this goes over what we expect and the various like obligations and the rights and the process of it. What you received is in process in that it has the comments and the edits in it. And the insurance section needs to be updated. I need to take here what was Ron's insurance, make sure that this is what we want, put the new numbers in to make sure that it's what we want for our RFP. So if that gets tidied up in the next couple of days this week, is everybody good to advertise this?
I have two things.
Yes.
The addendum that it just seemed pretty vague in what the
part of that. And I wondered if we should
then be. Yeah, because you know, Ron does a lot with the rec board after they do their springtime park. Whatever the word is, I can't think of, where they walk into the parks and write down what you do.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Sure. Ron, yes. Ron did a lot of that, if not most of that work.
That's actually
picnic tables, painting fences.
I'm gonna call it the walk, the spring park walkabout.
Even adding park maintenance, because that's general enough that it can cover a lot of things.
And park maintenance. Okay, and if you think of anything else, because like up like the next like 2 days, I'd like to be able to add other things. So if anybody thinks of something, I sent her an email asking about that because we have what Ron, John, and I put together has a lot more detail. And then I think everybody knows at this point, he's got his notebook where he's been putting together all the details so that he's like, here's the intersections that tend to get a lot of stuff after a rain. And here's this. And here's how I take care of this stuff that we don't need to write in a job description, but that a new person will find invaluable. Just the things that he's learned. So she may say that brief sort of broad stroke summary is good enough for your RFP, but when the new person comes on board, I definitely want more detail.
Yeah.
And maybe we should, I asked her today, like, should we add more? Because that's the one area that I feel like is a little bit rough.
Yeah. The only thing that I would, I guess, caution is if we're printing and publishing, this is what the job description looks like. We hire someone, then we come back and say, forget that. Here's a big stack of what you're really going to do. Like, it probably needs to be maybe during the interview process, like a little deeper in the interview process and say, are you able
to do these things?
I mean, because it's going to be hard to replace to be in with just because it's tender.
Oh, yeah.
And he knows everything in sleep and he probably forgets half the stuff he does, you know, because
he's right. See the bills.
Yeah.
It could be that we hire a public works company. And then we have handyman for, you know, of course, one with liability here.
Right. Yeah.
Like, so, you know, but if this is going to be the all encompassing Ron, then parks maintenance really needs to play.
So we add parks maintenance for sure, I think. And the parks are listed, but the maintenance, like, you know, there's a screw loose in a swing, that kind of thing. And we did include the flexibility that there will be things that are not listed because sometimes something comes up and we ask him.
Other duties as a sign.
Yeah. And then you might expect within reason something else to be asked of you.
Okay. And then my other thing. Unless
anyone... Are we still on Ron's contract?
Yeah.
So what is our timetable?
We're on a paper.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, he's ready.
Let me get Emily's other question.
So one other thing is the pesticide clause.
Yeah.
The use of pesticides by contractors shall be permissible only to the extent such specified for safer pets and for use in tot lots, playground areas. Can we add some kind of term that requires borough or even EAC approval of the use and type of pesticide before they use it?
I don't think that needs to be in this. I think it could be something we could just say to them, but I'll ask her.
Okay, because...
On the pesticide issue, one of the issues that we had with the weeds on the sidewalks on State Street is whether there's a joint property consent to use that. So In addition to Parks and Recs, there may be a third party feed in on what kind of type of pesticides because of the issue of whose sidewalk is it, whose requirement is it.
Mm-hmm. And on borough property, that's what we call those things that are safe for people, children, safe for pets. But we could certainly ask that we could say put in there. And I can ask her, is that something that should go into this or something that goes into the things that we give you? Here's your parameters, here's the rules.
Can they have the detail in the manual book? Or do they have to put all the detail in the RFP?
That's one of the questions.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the RFP would be
this is
way
too lengthy.
Yeah.
What is the
the borough supply the pesticides?
No, or? The contractor. But okay, we specify it has to be able to work in the forest.
Yeah, you can't. Right. So the, if they're supplying the pesticides, you're probably going to want to include it in the bid specs.
And you know what? That actually, it could be that we buy it or that he buys it and then submits the, he buys, owns a harvester, buys it, submits the receipt and gets paid. It's, I don't know this. So I will
find to figure out. I just want to raise the question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you always want to throw in, you have to comply with the law, especially with the borough waterways feeding into the creek. We have state regulatory provisions.
Yeah, and that's and why
they have that. They have classifications and permissible and non-permissible property.
Yeah, and so that's why
the EPA
that.
Helps out on there.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, we're not doing this blindly, and it's not discretionary, but do you use vinegar instead of something else? So there are state standards for compliance, especially mm-hmm. when you're dealing with waterways.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of stuff will be built in by the solicitor.
And that's what we're requiring, this, yeah. the certification, yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I would say anyone we hire has to follow those sure. guidelines, and that's why they have insurance. And,
right. and that's right. why we put it in, they have to be certified yeah. in this specific type of pesticide, because there's many certifications. So.
Yeah, the inclusion of the bid specs, so if their contract price includes the purchase of specific chemicals, that's why when you need to identify it. But if you're saying, if and Barbara can answer all these questions with more specificity, she's obviously been diving deep into right. this. But if we're saying, you know, go out and buy the chemicals that we want, we'll reimburse you, that doesn't necessarily need to be included in the bid specs.
Right.
But if they're purchasing the chemicals and bringing them to the table, definitely.
That's, okay, that's a good thing. And we have a question from the audience.
Is it in the contract or what you're talking about there that individual needs a commercial applicator's license?
There's a specific license, type of license here.
There is a specific
commercial. A very specific type of license.
Oh, I kind of used to have one. Where? Okay.
Yeah. So, because we want to make sure they have it. All right. Thanks, Emily.
Yep. Thank you.
And then you asked about the time frame.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to be able to do, and then Barbara's guiding us through the process of what we need to do. I'd like to be able to vote to advertise it, you know, have it finished in the next couple of days. Everybody looks at it. They're like, yep, yep, we're all good. And questions are answered. And then we vote to advertise next week. It's then out there for people to submit bids. I'd like to be able to get the bids and ideally decide at the December council meeting. So discuss it at the work session, vote on it. We then have our new person. We can have some transition with Ron. And then, you know, get ready to start. If for some reason it is held up and we're not able to adhere to that, the only thing that he really does in terms of the maintenance, the trash and landscaping in January is remove trash from the trash cans, because the rest of it's like not growing. There's no snow. You've already done your fall cleanup. There's no mowing. So worst case scenario is we have to do it in January and we have to, like, I don't know.
Well, the most important
thing is and we all go out and look trash, right?
What is the way, maybe council can help us because they've done it in other municipalities, what is the way to reach the contractors so that we have as many people know about this in a timely fashion so they can react? Because otherwise, if only the guy down the street is going to know, that's the only bid we're going to get. And maybe high, low, or he's inadequate. So how do you, nuts on notice, you can notice, I think it's a redundant thing. How do we make sure we get out to the contractors? In different kinds of industries, you have lists of people.
Yep.
Is there such a list for this kind of thing?
So that's something that I would ask Barbara, to be honest with you. She mm-hmm. does all of our good work. But typically what we'll do is we post on the borough website. I don't think, do we have an active Facebook page?
No.
First on the borough website, we can notify the local newspapers. Obviously, we can advertise with them. You can post on PennBid. PennBid gets out to a lot of contractors. I'm not sure if it's these specific types of contractors, but Barbara's very familiar with how to reach the
most. Yeah, and PennBid, they look there for things they might be interested in doing.
PennBid is usually your best bet.
And if you're dealing with newspapers, there's timeline deadlines to get into notices. So it's like a 10-day, you got to come in on a Monday to get the following Thursday. So there's
The Courier Times has the longest one. It's usually about 3 days in advance.
Okay. But you may think you're timely to get into that next position, but you may not be.
Right. So right. Judy's deeply aware of all those deadlines. But that'll be good. And the PennBit is the biggest one, and the rest of them help kind of get the word out.
Yep.
And I think Ron has been getting the word out, people knows, but obviously that's limited to Ron knows. So
yeah. Thank you for working on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should deny his request to resign.
Just kidding.
Not a lot.
No retirement for you. Okay, so we're good to move this to next week then, mm-hmm. provided we answer the questions and get it wrapped up. Okay, 207 Court Street had a handicap sign, which was put in by motion. That resolution, and that person has left town, has no longer residing in the house, and so it was a designated spot, so we can take it out and then open it up for anybody to park there. But in order to do that, because we had a motion and a vote for a resolution, then we need to follow the same process. So everybody will have received resolution 11-9-2022. Well, this is listed as D, and we'll have them all squared away for next week. But this is be resolved that a handicapped parking space granted by resolution blah, 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 2011 on July 12th, 2011 shall be removed due to relocation of the handicapped space holder. So I don't know if anybody has any questions about this. We're good?
Mm-hmm. We just did this on Mercer Street last year. We had to do it by resolution. So. We're just following the same pattern.
We own the sign.
Yes.
Next person to the handicap sign.
It's our sign and our post.
Yep. We'll be able to go out.
And then when you take the post out, you have to fix the sidewalk. And that's at our expense.
Okay. So the 2022-2024 proposed auditor. This is to have our same auditor. We've evolved and worked with very well. And we need another agreement to have them for the fiscal years 2022 to 2024.
All right. Why didn't finance have met with this company? So when the new people came on in the last year, we had an opportunity to meet them and understand their procedures.
Yeah, that was helpful.
Good. It was very helpful.
So this is, I have no documents for this. If we want to do it, I will put them in together. So Northampton is having their 300th anniversary. It's a big deal for them. I thought it would be nice for us to have a resolution and put a little fancy sticker on it and send it to them at their meeting. They can say, oh, Newtown Borough wishes happy birthday. So it can be, whereas they are a neighbor, whereas blah, 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 they're having a 300th anniversary founded by so-and-so, I can put together a little thing and it'll just be nice. So if we like the idea, then we can do that for them. And then if anybody else has a centenary anniversary, like we could do that too. I don't think we need a policy. I don't think it happens that often. Somebody has like a 200, 300 year anniversary.
Do we know the date? 19?
It's this year. They're celebrating it all
300 years.
This year.
Oh, okay. So we're
I have no idea what the date is.
Get it done by the end of the year.
Yeah. So if we vote next week, that like if I put something together, we vote on it and I can sign it, we can throw it in the mail. And for their December meeting, they'll say, we got a happy birthday resolution.
Why? Oh, it's resolution. If I need to vote on it, can you send them a letter?
Is you do
this is the mayor's job.
A proclamation.
I mean, I would have to do that too. I think it's probably more impactful about as a council.
You're right, because then we can all sign it.
We'll get invited to the front.
Yeah. They don't have a mayor.
Yeah. I think it would be nice. Yeah, a proclamation is nice for someone from the borough who comes to the meeting and gets awarded for sending this.
That being said, and you probably have already started this process. But with Ron and recognizing him at our final meeting, we have things okay. I just want to make sure that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, no.
Good idea. Get him on a silver shimmer.
We talk about it because it's usually the week after the parade and people are busy the Sunday before that. All right, Act 57 tax collection resolution. We have to do this. We are required to do it, so we have no choice. But what it is for people who say you buy a house in February and Judy's already got her list going, so your name's not on it. And then she, puts together, mails out the taxes, and then by the time it cycles around, this new person is on the list, she gets it, now this person's getting dinged for a late fee for something that they didn't necessarily know, because if it gets forwarded to the prior resident and they go, oh, this is not mine, they throw it out and don't give it to the new person, and it isn't talked about at the seller's agreement, at the sale. So that's my summary from conversation with you, but I don't know if anything else.
No, that's right. So, sometimes if a property transfers too close to the settlement date, the bill goes to the seller, and then they get it. Like, I don't own this anymore. I'm going to bear it up. They'll talk to it, whatever. So this is actually coming from the state where they are, they've passed this Act 57 and, to look out for the buyer that doesn't have a tax collector that catches that and rebuilds them and makes sure that they. So it will, they have to meet some requirements. There's a form involved where they have to, submit to their local tax collector. And then I can just bill them at the face account and not in ways that comes.
Is this our issue or county issue?
It's a state. No, that's why the state act, because enough people were complaining that they had to pay the late fees, and they didn't even know about it. And eventually, I guess somebody's state representative took it in. And
from an authority standpoint, are we responsible for implementing the state law excusing the late fee?
Yes.
They've dumped it down to us.
They've mandated that every municipality in the Commonwealth pass this
resolution. Okay, so it's our job. It's our job to pass this, whatever it is. Okay.
Okay. All right. We're
not much option.
Okay, we'll do it.
But everybody understands. Okay. The discussion to pay half of the bread for prepare. Marielle?
I was actually going to let Ted talk about that one.
Oh, okay. As some of you may or may not know, the Shade Tree Commission cannot use monies from the Shade Tree budget to remove a tree in the right of way. The pear tree across the street there at the 1516 North State was hit by a truck about 6 years ago now, and had a large scar. At the bottom of that scar, I noticed a couple months ago, there's a lot of rot, and there's a so the Bradford pears are kind of a weak tree in the first place. About six of them from Washington to Green have gone down through the years. And this one I'd like to be on top of and be proactive with. So I've had conversations with the property owner, and I've made him aware that I cannot use money from the shade tree budget to remove the tree. So he had asked me, he said, could you go half? And I thought about it for about a week or two, and I said, well, I'll approach council and see if I can get half. I just believe that's the fastest way to remove the tree, and I believe it's the most equitable way. So I need your approval to use money from the shade tree budget to have that tree removed.
Mm-hmm. How much?
$97.50.
Is the total or the half?
That's the half. And their money is in the budget.
Mm-hmm. So are we good with paying half of that removal because it needs to be done?
Yes.
Yeah. And I see your thing there from Kennedy. So we just looked at it and it's needed to go.
Now, is this a budget item or is it a resolution that we have to approve something?
It's already in their budget. So we just have to say your name.
You'll approve it next week, but it doesn't require any kind of budget amendment.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just.
It's just a motion.
Just a motion. Okay.
Oh, good.
Before Ted,
all right.
Ted, I think it's 121 Chancellor Street. A tree came down.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that, Mary Ellen?
No, I was going to say that's not on the agenda. We should.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. All then right. Can we talk about that next week? About why the tree came down?
I would defer to Mary Ellen on that.
Okay.
Well, why don't we talk about that? She can.
Sounds good.
Hey, okay. The Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission, DVRPC, Transportation Development Mission, TCDI, Safe Walkability Plan. So I sent all of you a hopefully not too detailed explanation of the timeline of this grant. It's the one that RVE applied for on our behalf last spring. It's a $65,000 grant that is. All the invoicing and contract work is being done by DVRPC. We have to sign off on deliverables that things are being done. We are not the ones because it is a no local match grant. So, because DVRPC is the umbrella agency, they had a very, very specific process for selecting a firm to conduct the study. So, I outlined it. I don't know if you want me to outline that here as well, verbally.
Just do it briefly, because.
Sure. Yes, Mike, and you can ask me any questions. My only request is that nobody uses the name of the firm, because again, it's DVRPC's contract, not yours. Okay, so this was begun. Sue was the person who was running this. Was the point person for it, and then she asked me to come on end of July, beginning of August. To kind of get caught up so that she put a second person on this communications account with TCDI. And then at that time, we also talked about the fact that they recommend 3 to 5 people be part of the evaluation team. So we asked for the 2 chairs of Walk Friendly Newtown to fill out that role. So it was going to be Sue, me, Bob Haven, Courtney Lang, who I'd like to acknowledge right now as having done a lot of heavy lifting, and I appreciate them. So publicly, yes. So when Sue resigned, I ended up moving into Sue's position, and I asked Tara to help me because this is frustrating. So DVRPC put out the scope of work, basically an RFP, basically. We received 5 proposals. We had to fill out confidentiality and conflict of interest forms, and they also gave us a very specific template to fill out independently of one another to submit and rate the 5 firms' proposals. After we submit all that, then they could give us the winning firm's budget proposal. DVRPC requires that the budget be exactly $65,000, so it was very easy for us to approve that budget because it's only that. Yeah. So the next thing that DVRPC is waiting for us to do is to officially, and we're doing this because it's for us, not for them really, it's more for our record keeping and auditing purposes, pass by resolution next week the awarding of this grant site to specific fund. So.
And what is the study for again?
Safe walkability.
Okay, thank you.
It's a multimodal transportation grant.
Thank you.
Well,
well done.
All right.
Everybody. So,
thank you for all your hard work.
Yeah.
Okay.
And after we vote on it and let them know that we have awarded the grant, then they will start all of the contract work with the firm.
Right.
And they know that they are set and ready to roll as soon as we vote. They understand what we're doing for ourselves. They're following our.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. EAC.
Okay.
Okay.
So the first thing is a resident came to the EAC wine shop about light pollution. And it generated a conversation about the fact that we do have an ordinance. Trying to reduce light pollution from, all of our lights on our houses, but also landscape lighting and such. And so
I checked through Mary Ellen's wonderful, and they're also wonderful zoning officer, and they are actively reviewing that lighting plan on all current and then future applications.
Excellent.
So really, the point of this discussion, if it is one, is to educate the public about the fact that there is an ordinance. It's chapter 550-21, outdoor lighting. And just asking residents to check this ordinance before adding landscape lighting, up lighting, because that's not supposed to have up lighting, and especially the LED lighting because of the glare effect. So,
mm-hmm. And there's a lot of that now.
Is it a response to a complaint?
So
an application.
Well, so there's two sides. One is when someone presents the plans for their property, there's a lighting plan that's part of that.
Okay.
And so they can approve or request modifications to meet the code. And then the second part of that is, you know, you find a cool sale on this like fun lighting for a pathway. You really should check to make sure that it's being ordered. If it doesn't and there's a complaint, they could go and say, listen, this is not.
Take it off. You have loads of lighting.
Yeah. So because our zoning officer is not here at night, my expectation personally is not that they're like going around looking to see. So that would have to be someone raising it.
This is permanent lighting, not decorative.
Not holiday lights. We're still using the stair. No holiday or Halloween lighting, but it includes like people do the uplighting for their trees or any kind of lighting, permanent lighting that is not shaded. You both can't go trespass into the neighbor's windows and also go up into the air.
Okay.
So obviously there's a degree of things that are grandfathered. Like if somebody has a wired lamppost or something like that. But I think the other piece is keep making people aware of it. So they go, oh, this is going into the atmosphere. It's causing glare for us, but also birds and insects are impacted, and it's gotten a lot worse with LED lighting.
I think in the spring newsletter, this would be an excellent
thing. That's a great idea.
Yes.
And I was the resident. I came with the resident hat. There's a lot more lighting. There used to be the LED lighting causing a lot more lighting, a lot more glare. And the there were a couple articles that just came out recently, like Scientific American and Los Angeles Times. Scientific American had a massive thing on it. So that was the end of this.
You can find
and it was helpful. Thank you for going to do that. And as a resident, I appreciate that quick action. So thank you. All right. And then you have the single-use plastics?
Yes. So this is an update from the AAC. They're currently looking into developing a draft ordinance banning single-use plastics. But they know that that's going to affect businesses differently than it will affect residents. So as part of the research and draft process, they'd like to collect the needs and impressions of business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, do you have any recommendations on how the EAC should go about approaching this? There's a lot of, I'm sure almost anybody here at this point has been somewhere that they don't have plastic bags.
New Jersey.
For a while. Great garden state. So there's a We're one of many Bucks County municipalities that are looking toward this. But
is this a local ordinance issue or a state issue?
Local. Can you clarify for everyone what constitutes single use? Because I know some things, for example, like you do some, there's takeout things, and there's some things that you're still allowed to have as I don't know, a plastic fork or something, and about plastic bags. So can you talk about what falls under this?
So that's part of the questioning and information gathering process, because you know one part of that is to bring your own bag.
Okay.
But then there are the parts like, what do you do about the dry cleaning bags?
Hmm.
What do you do about, you know, do you say instead of throwing a plastic fork into the bag, do you then have to ask if they need one, right? Because say you want to go out to lunch and you go grab something, and you're going to go sit in some beautiful spot in Newtown Borough, but you didn't bring your fork from home. You don't want to preclude those businesses from being able to sell you.
Right, but maybe you're taking it home.
Maybe, you have right, your own which box. is why that would be a follow-up question, but we don't know that yet. It's right, something okay. That's part of the process. But what they wanted to know is, you know, is there a central place where you think that this would be a good, you know, Newtown Business Association is not only Newtown Borough. So is there a central group that they should go to? Should they go business to business and talk to owners? What they just want to get your recommendation and also, you know, get the temperature of how council even feels about it. Because
I know it's not under the purview of what the Newtown Experience Committee is wanting to do, but most of the business owners are involved in the Newtown Experience Committee. So maybe ask Kathy if at the next meeting, maybe a little, even if it's just that we'd like to speak with you.
Or yeah. Maybe ask them for contact information and send out some kind of a survey.
I don't know if you can give away contact information. Like,
well, if the businesses have given it to Newtown Experience.
Like, it's
their Newtown Experience could be sending the survey because they may be interested as well.
Oh, I see. I have to imagine the business owner would be interested in being part of the discussion.
And having their
contact. Sure.
I think what you'll find is either someone individually is going to be very, very strong and supportive,
mm-hmm, yeah,
or very, very against it. And whoever that person is going to give you your information that you need.
Yeah.
But I think the Newtown mm-hmm. Experience is a good platform to at least entertain that. But I would also recommend that EAC approach the businesses.
So
they're going to start to hear the rumor of.
Oh, yeah. Well, right. That's and they'd like to, and they're going to like to be it. They'd like to do it equitably, too. Right. So not just the
they want to get feedback and.
So I think your suggestion of a survey,
Survey Monkey or whatever, you can do one of those. They're easy to make up, and then if you have the contact information, they could send it out so it comes back.
Yeah, and maybe even as a two-part,
uh-huh,
like go in physically and talk to a person and get the impression, and then Facebook goes,
yes,
just so it's not like, wait, what?
And then they don't just say no because they're anticipating why they can't. But if you say what is the hardship or what is the impediment for you, that might open up a conversation to help us figure out solutions mm-hmm. in between.
I mean, as far as count, I mean, I support it. I support them doing this uh-huh. through the process, figuring it out. I'm on board.
Okay. Yeah, I feel guilty when I bring home stuff from one of the local restaurants for takeout. So I still wanted to take out. So, but I do think we need to. I like it, but I want to be respectful of their financial situation
yes.
and all that.
Yes, and that's the same thinking as the EAC, who also is trying to find out if there are programs to defray the cost. Like from green agencies that want to help move toward greener sourcing, but understand that it makes sense that business owners have already, especially restaurants,
taken on. So I presume that part of this would be it would begin at a set future date long enough that you use up all your boxes of non-compliant containers.
Yeah, this would all be part of that conversation is one of so many that is just part of the formative process. So they're trying to be very comprehensive in their thinking.
It was probably at the fire meetings that we had, but when we talked to the township, I thought they were saying that a lot of these companies that provide forks and boxes and bags have actually started to change what they offer companies.
Good.
And so the other thing you may want to ask a business before they make that decision of yes or no, contact whoever your vendor is and see what they have to be able to accommodate what they're missing, right? So
the new restaurants, the shopping center are all biodegradable.
Yeah, so that's all voluntary up in the township from what I believe, Ellen, that's all.
Yeah, there was a resolution to encourage.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
She did say that if you picked up and called your vendor, they would, you'd probably be surprised that there are options for you that they aren't going to leave you dry.
Right. Some of the businesses there have little cardboard boxes that you flip the flaps in and bring it. You know, I'm just talking about take it. Obviously, there's bags and so on.
So this is a first conversation about something that's going to be a process.
But yeah. I'm imagining like message food. There might be a difference between message food, not message food. Meat, not. Yeah, I can see all the.
That's
our
problem. That's our problem.
Yeah.
Conversation now, right?
Yeah. Okay, but you're okay with. There's interest in
getting to the process.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, Marielle. All right, so this is going to be pretty simple. Current vacancies on committees, commissions, and boards include one Civil Service Commission alternate, one Environmental Advisory Council, one Joint Historic Commission Recording Secretary, one Shade Tree Commission, one Parking and Signs Ad Hoc, and three Walk-Friendly Newtown Standing Committee. And then the new vacancies as of January 1, 2023. Applicants seeking reappointment to be voted on at the December council meeting, one Civil Service Commission, one Environmental Advisory Council, Bill Heineman has reapplied, two HARB, Mike Hutchinson has reapplied, one Human Relations Commission, Mary Gonzalez is reapplying, one Joint Historic, one Newtown Bucks Joint Municipal Authority, and Chris Gussie is reapplying, three Planning Commission, we have Mark and Heather reapplying, Mark Craig and Heather Lewis. Three Rec Board, one Shade Tree, one Zoning Hearing Board, Glenn Beasley is reapplying, and one Vacancy Board.
Okay. Well, thanks for all our filling people reapplying. Thanks for all your work and talking to
us. Vacancy Board, 1 year term?
Yes, it's a 1 year term.
1 year term.
Ted did submit today. You may not have seen that
email. I could come in later. Okay. Oh, good, good, good.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, good. So you got that filled.
And I do know that the second HARB is not going to reapply. That's okay. Derek.
We heard that.
Rest of this year.
All right. Thanks, Mary. I'll be asking you some of your thoughts on that. We have a policy that set up the votes to be the first meeting in January, with the idea that like if you have a new council that they pick their people. But for us, when it's an even year, it might be good to vote in December, and that way there's no gap for those people to have their own meetings in January. Because when it's a new council, you meet that first Monday. Or if that's New Year's first Tuesday, but
New York meeting by law is the first Monday in January, so it always precedes the first planning commission
right
first EAC, and then following a non-election their local municipal elections, it doesn't pertain. So you really do want to appoint in December. Those people don't have lives, and
so
getting over the year.
Right. And then we can just adjust the policy. So I'll check in with you about that. We can see what your thoughts are.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Sounds good. Do you have any announcements? All right. Chief, you're an employee.
No,
I don't think I've ever had a meeting with no public. You should really step Jeff. So
a baseball game.
Yeah. Okay.
Chief of Police, now come on.
All favor?
Aye.
Congratulations for getting this done before
the quarry will fall.
Exactly.
Any more?
I can.
What's that one?
Thank you.